you have a copy of God's Word, a Bible, I want you to open it up to Book of Romans, chapter 12. Is that New Testament or Old Testament? New. Who wrote it? Who wrote the Book of Romans? Paul. That is correct. All right. So the Apostle Paul wrote this book. We're going to get to it in a little bit. We've been talking through this idea of missions, right? A heart to serve, which results in us living in a way that is joining God on His mission. What is God's mission? Somebody remind anyone who hasn't been here. What is the mission God is on? We talked about it during Spring Break Blitz. We've talked about it the last few weeks. What is He doing? Everybody got a student guide? All right. Make sure you get one. Cameron needs one. Okay, so God is at work to restore creation, right? He does it to start with us. He wants to do it in others. And then He also wants this to expand out into the world. He wants to restore all of creation because sin has entered into the world and it has corrupted the world. So He is at work. So the question for us tonight is, what has God called you to do? Okay, we're going to talk about it depending on the various places that you could be in your understanding of God and your relationship with Him. Okay, we're going to talk about it because this applies to every single person in here. Okay, so if you're sitting there talking with someone, if you're thinking about something else that you've got to do tomorrow or something like that, focus in here for a little bit. We're not going to go super long tonight. But I do want you to think about, what has God called you to do? Because God has called each and every one of you to do something. And tonight we're going to see where you may be in your understanding of God and what your response needs to be to Him because of that. So there's a principle I want to share, and it is that God has called you to use your life in a unique way to partner with Him in His mission by being a blessing to others. Everybody has this call. Now, the thing is, it's just like on your phone. If you get a call, guess what? You can answer it or you cannot, okay? You can put it off. Especially if it's like somebody who's really trying to get in touch with you and you can like deny it and then they try calling you again and maybe you put that down. Eventually you're like, okay, I'm gonna answer this call. Well, God is, you know, calling us to repent from sin, to trust in Christ, to live in a way that brings glory to Him, and in a way that, you know, we love Him and we love those who are around us. So this causes us to live in a different way, okay? He's calling us to use our life, each and every one of us, in a unique way to bless others and to bring glory to Him, to honor Him. This is part of why we talk, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit during the game, about being respectful, okay? Because when you give respect to an authority, you are giving that honor and respect to God. Because God has established, the Bible says, the authorities of the earth. He's set them in place. And when He's done with them, guess what? He removes them from power. Okay? So when there's an authority in your life, okay, for that time, you have got to live under that authority. And so right now, that could be your parents. It could be teachers. It could be coaches. It could be these various different people that you find in leadership over your life at this time. You may or may not enjoy it all the time. You may or may not agree with them a lot of the time. I'm sure if we went around and took a poll, most of us, except Trey Am, would say that we have a teacher that we don't like, all right? And maybe Ella, Blake, Shelby, some of you that would get in trouble if you said that about your parents. I was just kidding about that. But here's the thing, okay? Each of us have a call, and so we're going to look at three different calls that I want you to think about your life in terms of, okay? The first one is a worldwide call to everyone in the world. That's what a worldwide call means. Yeah, all right. And that call is to follow Jesus Christ. Okay, so with our life, we trust in Christ, we turn from sin, and we decide to follow him. And that means we learn what he has told us to do, we begin to obey him, he works in us through the Holy Spirit to change us, to change the things that we desire, so that we are more in line with being the person that he has created us to be. So there's this worldwide call to everyone because everyone, listen here, everyone is an enemy of God at some point in their life. And it starts at when you're born and it goes until a time when you turn from sin and you place your faith in Christ. Right. So we see this in the New Testament, okay? One place in Acts, Pastor Bill worked through this a while back. And Peter said to them, when they asked, what must we do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them, look, you've got to repent. You've got to turn away from a life of sin and rebellion against God. And then he uses baptism to show that we live in a way where we identify with Christ and in obedience because Christ has commanded us to be baptized, for us to baptize others. Guess what? For us to be obedient, if we truly love him, we're going to obey his commands. So then we follow in baptism as an act of obedience. Another great place in the New Testament that we see this working out is that it's not just for us, okay? We are then to take this message to others. We've read this a few times before. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Christ promises that he's with us when we are his disciples following him and that we have this mission to join up with God's mission and to go and proclaim this good news about who Jesus is and that, guess what, even though you're a sinner and you're a rebel just like I was, God loves us and wants to transform us and restore us in our relationship with him. So God wants to do this in our life, then we get to spread that out to others. The second call is the specific call to you individually to use your talents, passions, and experiences to fulfill God's mission to bring heaven to earth. What I mean by to bring heaven to earth doesn't mean like we grab a rope from heaven and we pull it down to the ground, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is God's desire, his realm, his authority, he wants that to be stretched across the earth and he wants image bearers, okay? Because we bear the image of God. We are a reflection to all of creation of who God is. And so he wants us to spread out over the earth so that we can point others to him, so that we can lift him up and honor him in our lives. And so there's a specific call that God has for you individually, not necessarily the exact same way that I have. For instance, some of you guys are really good at sports that I am terrible at, okay? Or maybe you are really musically given, or you're really academically given, or you're very relational, or a bunch of different things, okay? There's all different kinds of ways that God has given us talents. There's also things that God has given us what I might call a passion for, things that get us excited, things that I'm like, man, I really love this. Watching the floor get, no, I don't like watching them lose. But I do really enjoy, for instance, one of the things recently, you guys know, I've been playing disc golf, right? And so I get really excited about disc golf, where you throw frisbees and you try and get to land in a basket. I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm getting a lot better at it than I used to be, which is great because when you're bad at it, you tend to throw them in ponds accidentally, and it costs a lot more money than it does when you're better at it and you miss the ponds. What's up? No, I have not done that. So here's the thing. We all have things that we get excited about, and what you may be like super thrilled about is something totally different than me, and that's okay, all right? You can have something that you are good at. Maybe you're really interested in Lord of the Rings or something like that. And so you have a community of other people that you like to talk about Lord of the Rings with, okay? And so you have these friendships and things like that. Well, guess what? We can leverage these talents and these passions to bring glory to God, but we can also, check this out, use the experiences in our life as ways to be able to lift others up and encourage them. Now, we were kind of saying earlier, all of us have gone through something in our life that we'd probably like to avoid ever having to go through again, right? There have probably been things in your life that you're like, yeah, that wasn't very fun. I'd rather not ever have to deal with that. Okay, maybe it was a failure in your life. Maybe it was a loss in your life. Something as small as maybe losing a pet that you liked. Maybe as important as losing a loved one in your life or something like that. Those experiences that we go through can be really tough, but through that, we can really connect with someone else when they're going through a similar kind of experience. If you lost a parent and then you meet someone else and they're going through that where their mom or dad just died, guess what? You have an instant connection with that person that you can use to minister to them, that you can use as a way to encourage them and say, hey, I've been where you're at. Keep trusting the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. I mean, God gives us all these different kinds of experiences to enable us to bond together. And so there's a specific call that he gives us, which is really neat because we're able to use these different things that we're excited about, that we've lived through, to build connections with others so that we can spread the gospel, the good news of Christ with others. I want to share with you a little bit of a video here and let you listen to this. This guy, his name is David Platt. He's a pretty smart guy. He was for a while in charge of the Southern Baptist International Mission Board, and they send missionaries around the world to tell people about Jesus. And so he's going to share for just about 2 minutes maybe a really interesting concept. So check this out.
And this is part of the beauty of when the local church really begins to own mission, because then the Lord, by his Spirit, starts to raise up people that we may never even thought of as potential missionary candidates. For example, I remember the first time that this one couple came to me and said, hey, I'm an engineer, my wife's a teacher, and we just figured out we could get a job doing engineering and teaching in this part of the world, mentioned a specific part of East Asia, where they have a lot less gospel presence, and we can get the same kind of job here that we can get the same kind of job there that we have here. Can we just go there? And I don't know if, and then they said to me, I don't know if we count as missionaries or whatever, because we got jobs, we can actually be self-sustaining there. And so I said, well, yeah, you count. Like, you are crossing cultures for the spread of the gospel. You're moving to be a part of making disciples there. And so when people begin to get that kind of vision for the gifts and skills and education and opportunities God has given me here may not just be for me to stay here, but I can use these in strategic ways in parts of the world that are unreached with the gospel. And then, so to connect, we've worked to connect that couple with what God's doing there through church planners and through work specifically with the IMB to come alongside that. That's just win-win. And when we begin to think like that, we begin to blow the lid off thinking through the number of people who can go overseas. And it's not necessarily limited by how many people can go as a church planner through the IMB as it is now, but there are all kinds of possibilities to get all kinds of other brothers and sisters from different gifts, different backgrounds with different gifts and skills through different means serving the same cause of seeing the gospel penetrating unreached peoples.
So that's a possible way. It could mean the way that we are able to use those things for God's glory is going and being a missionary. So we use maybe something that God has given us as an ability, experience, like he talked about, education. Those things these people were able to go and serve God by having a job, just regular kind of thing, but then being intentional to share the gospel with others, okay? You may have the opportunity to do that locally. You may have the opportunity to do that nationally or internationally like they did. For instance, okay, one of the things that our church does that I really love to see is we train church planters to go and begin new churches around the country. And that's pretty awesome. Well, guess what? If we just decide, because we've got a guy right now, his name is Will Cole. He's really nice. He's usually down front on Sunday mornings. If you ever want to get to talk with him and meet him, he's preaching this Sunday, which is going to be super cool. So if you don't know who I'm talking about, be here Sunday and you'll get to see. He is going to be planning a church in like a year and a half, 2 years probably, something like that. He's being trained by Pastor Bill and doing some seminary classes. Well, guess what? When he gets ready to go and plant that church and begin it, it's not just going to be him and his wife, Erin, and their kids that go to some place and begin having church, the like five of them, okay? There are other people that go along with him to begin this, because what they're going to do is they are going to be engineers and teachers and people who have jobs. They can go and find a job there, and then they go and meet their neighbors and tell them about what it's like to know Jesus, what it's like to be a Christian. They go and they invite people, come in here, let me tell you, all this kind of stuff. And so it's not that we all have to be pastors. I hope that maybe among you guys, some of you will one day be pastors or wives of pastors or leaders and missionaries in various capacities. But maybe it's going to be that you are able to use the things that God puts in your life and equips you with to spread the gospel. And that's an awesome way to respond. Let's look in Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at a neat verse there. So I told you to look there. We're going to begin in verse 3. Romans 12. It begins with a very famous passage about offering your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Okay. And not to be conformed, okay, or molded by the world around us, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, I talked to you before about that we live in a jello mold of the world, and if we are not careful, we will mold exactly to what we are surrounded by. And God says, don't be conformed or molded by the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do that through knowing scripture, through prayer. That's why we emphasize these things. Then Paul continues here in verse 3. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Okay, pause there for a moment. What he's talking about here is like we have a body with various parts. They don't all do the same thing, right? They allow us to do different things. If I try to throw a disc golf disc with my foot, it's not going to go nearly as well as with my hand. And if I try and throw it with my ear, it's not going to go at all, right? But the ear can do something that the hand can't, right? It can pick up audible sounds and can help me understand you, and it helps you to understand me. And so each of the parts or the members, as he's saying, of the body perform different tasks and are able to do these different things. And so he says, in a similar fashion, our body of believers, we have different gifts God has given us to use for the whole body to do well, okay? If I don't have ears that can hear, I'm not using my eyes, which can see, and I end up on a railroad track, guess what? I'm in a lot of danger, and my ears would be able to hear a train coming. My eyes would be able to see them, and if they don't do their job, and they're too busy trying to throw a disc golf disc or something like that, guess what? The whole body's going to suffer when the train comes along, right? Because we're not working together. What if I was trying to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, okay? This is a classic, like, programming task for a robot or something. You may do it if you ever get into robotics. So there are tons of different things that you have to program a robot to do in order to come out with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. One, robot has to have the bread, right? It has to have a knife or something to spread and peanut butter, and it has to have jelly, okay? You have to open the jar, and it has to use a hand to hold the top and a hand to hold the side, and they work together to open it up. Then it puts it down. And it works together to spread, and there's all these different steps. Guess what? If I'm trying to do that job and my eyes aren't watching, that would be a lot more difficult than if my eyes are watching, right? I mean, how many of us would do a good job if I brought some bread and peanut butter and jelly and a knife up here and then blindfolded you and said, do it. Make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You may make one, but you may make a lot more mess. You may use a lot more ingredients, and you may not get as much actually on the bread in the sandwich as you might like. Or you may have like a cup and a half of peanut butter and very little jelly, and then when you try and eat it, you're going to kind of struggle through it for a while and probably choke, right? So that there's value in us using the various parts of the body in conjunction together when we work together. Same way with us in the church. If we will each use the things God has equipped us to be able to do, then we can build up the body together. We can encourage each other. Rebecca can take way better pictures than I can, for sure. She can write way better than I can. Hannah can organize better than I can. Mr. Jeffrey knows everything about fire and that I have no idea about, okay? And I know things that you guys don't know, okay? And that's cool. And you guys probably, guess what, know some things that I don't know. You know way more about how your school operates than I do. You can help me to understand some of those things so that I can more effectively minister to students in your school. You can tell me about things that are going on here, things that are going on in your life. You're an expert on those things. You can help me. You can encourage each other. When we work together, we can build up the body of believers as a whole, which is awesome. The great thing about this is no one has to be an expert in everything. You guys don't expect me to be an expert in fire safety. you expect me to have a little bit of understanding so I don't like make a fire trap and, you know, we all barely survive with our lives. But Mr. Jeffrey, you know what? He's got a lot of expertise on that. And so when we work together on different things, we're able to build up the body together. The third thing for us to think about is immediate responsibilities, which God is calling us to do today. Immediate responsibilities. These are things that we have to do today. You've got to, I mean, think about what are some of the things that you've got to do on a daily basis. You wake up, feed your dog, you read, somebody said, what? Eat, brush your teeth. Okay, put on deodorant, yes. Things vital for living. Okay, what else? What do you do for like 8 hours a day typically? Work, stay up late.
Go to sleep.
On your, you know, that's not something we have to do. That's not a responsibility. Play Fortnite. That's not a responsibility either, guys. All right. How about school? Right? Homework? Those are immediate responsibilities you have, Hannah. Chores, right? Things that you have to do around your house. Okay. Listen, we each have things that we have to do, okay, that are immediate responsibilities, okay? Let me tell you some things that are not immediate responsibilities for you right now. No. Okay, these things are responsibilities that are not immediate for you, okay? Paying taxes is a good example. Paying for the rent. School is an immediate responsibility. Okay, it should be. Having a job, doing the job, being on time for the job, all those kinds of things, those are immediate responsibilities. Well, guess what? Responsibilities are opportunities. Check this out. Responsibilities are opportunities. They are opportunities for us to glorify God through the attitude we have, through the actions that we do, okay? The various aspects of how we approach a responsibility. Do you just go to school and just try to pass or just survive, right? Or are you trying to do your best and offer your best because you know the Bible says that everything you do, whatever it is, do it to the glory of God as if you're doing it to the Lord and not unto men. The way that we live, we have immediate opportunities to serve God. One opportunity I wanted to point out to you guys, and some of you are in this picture, which is fun. All right, we had spring break blitz, right? Whoop, whoop. Okay, so during blitz, we had an opportunity to serve someone, right? I want to share with you, because if you were there, you probably... you might have some idea about this. If you weren't, you may not. And this was a really cool thing for me. It just got me excited for like a week and a half probably, so I wanted to share it with you. So during this project, we ripped all the shingles off of this like half of the roof, and then we ripped up all the felt kind of stuff, laid down a new barrier, and then went to put on the shingles. Well, when you put on the shingles, okay, we had an air compressor with two hoses going up and nail guns, right? And so the nails you use to put the shingles on, the thing is, nail guns run out of nails, okay? They are really fun. They're a lot of fun. So we had three nail guns, and we had two hoses run up onto the roof. So here was the thing. Three nail guns, two hoses on the roof means one of the nail guns isn't being used at any time. Well, we were trying to load these nail guns back up with more nails so that we could keep going. I was having a hard time. Pastor Izzy was having a hard time. We were just trying to pass this thing around to different people to see if anybody could get the nails to go in the nail gun the right way. And so we finally found out that Zach Crow, okay, who's a 10th grader, his parents had told him, you know what, we don't want you to use any power tools this week when you're on it. And that's their right, okay, as parents. They have that right to do that, which is awesome. Okay, and we thought we were hopefully going to have some other opportunities, maybe painting or stuff like that. We just didn't have those things available. Well, guess what? Zach had a really neat ability to get the nails in the nail gun really quickly, too. Like, he could get it to work when the rest of us were just struggling, and that was awesome. And so we would have the two nail guns go in, and as soon as one was out, he'd exchange it. He'd take the one that was empty, load it back up. We'd plug in the one that was loaded and keep on going. And it was really neat because he was able to then pass that on, right, to Micah and teach him how to put it in there the right way. And the two of them were working on this in a team together. There was a weakness in our team as a whole, okay, our body of workers, and one of the members was able to figure it out, was able to do it, and then extend that out to someone else and teach them how to do that. We all have opportunities to serve in the capacities that we are already in. You don't have to wait until you can move to Southeast Asia before you can glorify God with your work. You can do it through your school and your teams and your neighborhood and your families right now. So what I want you to think about is this question: what is your next response to Jesus? What's the next step for you and what you need to do? Because if you haven't answered that worldwide call to be a follower of Christ yet, that's the first thing you need to do before anything else. It doesn't make sense for you to try to be glorifying God if you haven't decided to follow him in obedience and in faith. So the first thing is you've got to have a moment in your life where you have made the decision, I will follow Christ. He is my all. If it comes to following him or doing something else that I want or someone else wants, I pick Jesus. And when I don't, I'm going to repent and turn back and follow him. If you've never had that moment in your life, guess what? We need to talk. We need to talk about how to do that, because we have got to make sure that everybody here has the opportunity to know Christ in a personal relationship, to actually know him, to follow him. And then we've got to spread that out into the world around us, right? Just like we heard Christ say, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize, teach them to obey all that I've commanded. We're to do those things. And if you have made that decision to follow Christ, I want you to start thinking about what are those immediate opportunities around you, and maybe what is the specific call God has placed in your life? What are maybe some of the opportunities education or experiences or passions and talents that God has given you to be able to use? What are some of those things? How might he want to use that throughout your life to glorify him? That's a big question. A lot of times people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do as your career? That question is kind of less important than how am I going to use my life to bring glory to God? Because there's a lot of ways that we can do that. Okay? We can't just say, only through my career am I going to be able to glorify God, or only once I'm an adult. God wants to use you right now, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, to be able to bring glory to him, to build you up into the man or woman that he has designed you to be, so you can influence the world around you. We each have a great call on our life. The important thing is, what's our response to it? What's your response going to be? I want you to think about this week, maybe. What are some of the things that you can do in response? If you need to make that initial decision, guess what? When we get done here in a minute, I want you to come up and talk with me about how to do that. I'd love to. It'd be awesome. If you've done that before, I want you to think about, how can I use those things in my life to go out and influence the world around me for God's glory? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word pointing us to you. Help us Help us to use these various things that you have placed in the body for your glory. Help us to see the things that you've placed in our life, and help us to use them to just honor you through the way we live. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.